Reading from John 15. What was it? Uh-oh.
Five.
John 15, 5, that's what it was. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
You can do nothing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm thrilled to be speaking to you. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, because if not, sorry about that. I'm doing all I can do. I appreciate Blaze reading that passage. I want to talk to you today about a passage in Scripture that I always have related to, but now, at this point in my life, I view it differently than I used to. But first, I want to share a story. It's not autobiographical, so you can't laugh at me. I feel better about that. There is an entrepreneur, a champion wrestler, an MMA competitor, a New York Times best-selling author, an ESPY award winner, and a climber of Mount Kilimanjaro. All of this person accomplished by age 28. I'd love to list all of what I've done and be able to have those on my list. But sadly, I've done none of those things. I mean, unless you count junior high wrestling as a championship, my list is small compared to that. This Georgia native is named Kyle Maynard. Now, if you don't know about Kyle, I have to tell you, he was born with congenital amputation. It's a rare syndrome. It affects 1 in 2,000 babies. He was a quadruple amputee. So when I say he accomplished climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, I mean he literally, on his torso, with no hands and legs, climbed that mountain and was the first to ever do that. Countless people have told him, "You can't do that." Many were his excuses. to not even try, to just give up. But he says, I like to think of life as an adventure. One quote explains how he did what he did. Listen carefully and think about your life, and I'll think about mine. The biggest challenge is with ourselves. No excuses. That's what he said when they asked him how he could do all that. It's a matter of how we look at ourselves. It's a self problem. No excuses. It reminds me of a passage in Exodus. Turn there. Exodus 3. We're going to kind of camp out in Exodus 3. It's a very familiar passage. I know you know it, but I want you to dig deeper in yourself. Sometimes I think our heart is like a trampoline. The word hits it and bounces. Whoops. And bounces off. I'm asking you, let the word absorb into your heart. In Exodus 3, Moses was spoken to by a burning bush. Well, flaming bush. It was not really burning. Now, first of all, if you're letting the word really absorb in your heart, I should have heard a gasp. I should have seen people nearly fall off this pew. 'Cause that doesn't happen. If I ever saw a bush speaking to me, I would check myself in somewhere. First of all. Second of all, it's burning, but not really. I've not seen many things other than my gas fireplace be flaming, but not seem to burn up. If I saw a bush on fire, it should be going away. So it was a stunning event. And what happened next was even more stunning. God said to Moses, I've got a job for you. To which Moses replies in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I? That'd be like saying, Brian, I'd like for you to fill in for the day for Obama. Now, I'm sorry. I'm a little insulted that got such a response, but God's being in a bush, burning but not really, and talking didn't get one. It's not such a stretch. President games. I kinda like that. But if I was commissioned for that, I might say this. I might say, who am I? Who am I that I should do that? There are lots of others. Why me? God answers that. But then Moses has another excuse in verse 13. He said, okay, let's suppose I go. When it starts out like that, don't expect someone has agreed. Well, suppose I go and say, the God of your father sent me. And they ask me, what's his name? Well, then what am I gonna say? I don't know this stuff. I mean, really, do you think I'm gonna waltz up to the most powerful ruler in the world and say, let this million plus slaves who are building your land, just let them go without some kind of authority? I don't even begin to know what will happen to me. I don't think I'll be back. Who do I say sent me? God answers him. But Moses has one more excuse. In verse number 1 of chapter 4. Well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? And what if they say, the Lord did not appear to you? Huh? What do I do then when they back me in the corner with their spears and say, I don't believe you. Show me. Why should I trust? Well, God gives him an answer. But he's not done. He says in verse number 10, Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I don't talk so good. It doesn't come out well. If I get in front of him, I'm gonna get all tongue-tied. Please send someone who speaks well. God answers him. And then Moses makes one more try. Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I mean, at this point, in my mind, I see Moses falling to his knees and begging like a little child, like when I went up to slide down the sack slide with my grandpa and saw how high it was. I clutched his leg. I held on. I begged him, please don't make me go. To which he scooped me up and down we went. We know, though, in fact, some of you kids will know this feeling. It's the feeling that I see in your face when mom or dad picks you up to go out and you hold on and say, oh, please, please don't spank me. Please don't take me out. I'll be good. Please. And your mother or father looks like they could just die. I've seen it. Moses says, I don't want to. And really, isn't that what it always comes down to? Through all our excuses, we don't want to. We've chosen not to. Because we're afraid we'll fail, because we don't feel equipped, because someone better should do it. I don't want to. The problem is with ourselves. In all those verses, in all those excuses, count the number of times, who am I that I should go? Suppose I go, and they ask me, what if they don't believe me? Or listen to me. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. Don't send me. What's the problem? My. God goes on. No, actually, earlier, in verse 8 of chapter 3. God speaks the secret. So I have come down to rescue them. What was Moses lacking? Why couldn't he do it? It's a subtle shift in the way we live, but it's profound. God does it. God came to do it. Moses was Joe Schmo. He could have been anyone. 'Cause God doesn't need us. We need God. He wanted Moses because of his weakness, because it would show his power more than anyone else. They'd see God through Moses. Our job is not to be equipped, but be available. God will use you. You have no excuses, 'cause God can do anything. You're just Joe Schmo, along to see God's amazing work. In my stroke, the one lesson which has been more profound for me than any other is this. I spent years since high school speaking, preaching, teaching, working in God's kingdom. But the truth is, the one moment when my ministry was more powerful than any other is when God said, lay in a bed and sit there. Watch me work. Watch me do it. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. I have told my brother's kids, I love my children. Love them dearly. But the one thing Mark's kids have that mine will never get is that they were chosen. Mark picked them out. And I got what I got. I love what I got, but I didn't pick. God has picked you. He wants you. He doesn't need you, but he wants you. Don't leave this place without being his. Not because you want to, but because you need to. You need God. in the teen class this morning, we were talking about crises and how to get through them. I was reminding them that if your relationship with God is there, everything else is managed, though you feel totally out of control. Don't leave outside of Christ. Come to Him if you haven't. If you have but you've wandered away, pray He'll forgive you. Come forward so we can pray with you. And if you need the support of your family, we're here. We love you. Let us pray with you and help you in life. Remember one thing. If you remember nothing else, God doesn't need you, but He wants you so badly that His own Son died to take your punishment. Will you come as we sing?